Like, it's so crazy because he was so good at closing, he went to jail. I just imagine being so good at sales and you go to jail.
Oh.
Speaking is a skill, bro. I'm not saying I'm like the best at it, but when you learn how to speak, and I used the example of are we allowed to talk about here? So if, even if you're struggling with money, for example, well, Allahu Akbar, Habibi. Allah is greater. Why are you making the money greater than Allah? Hello, everybody. This is the Three Muslims. My name is Uncle. This is Rami, and this is Fayyad. I know I've gotten a bit skinnier and no beard almost, but it's my new look, man. Assalamu alaikum, guys.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Me, I'm doing amazing.
Alhamdulillah. I like the new look, bro.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Just want you to know that we embrace who you are always, no matter what.
Okay, that'd so be, I can be whoever. Okay.
Yeah.
I got you.
Listen, whoever, whatever.
You were with us since day one, through the highs and the lows, all the transitions.
It's just the beard. I need to grow it back.
The beard and the voice, bro.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And the accent. I don't know what happened there.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, without further ado, I do want to introduce the man, the myth, the legend, the guest today behind the wisdom that will be dropped in this podcast. Alhamdulillah, we got Brother Muhammad, who apparently lives 5 minutes across the street from me. And he's been living, you know, for years. And we just found out. So do you want to talk about how we met, bro?
Dang, man. So first of all, we should have met long time ago, first of all. But yeah, you guys, I guess, just reached out, said that let's do a podcast. And then all of a sudden, like, wait a minute, this guy's right here.
Mm-hmm.
Literally 7 minutes away. So I'm like, okay, like, let's meet. And now we're here. And Rami is apparently 2 hours away.
Yes.
But
alhamdulillah.
Undisclosed locations for all of
Yeah, no, we're not gonna disclose like what it is.
You're not gonna find out where I live, don't worry. Yeah. I used to live here. I used to live right here with you guys. I used to be
in Mexico.
Yeah, middle school, yeah. I used to be I don't wanna say the location, but the area he lives in, I'm like under 10 minutes away. Probably 5, depending on the
traffic. Wait, no, so you were right next to me too?
Yeah, the whole time.
See, that's the craziest. It's such a small world.
Yeah.
Like, dang, man.
Subhanallah.
Yeah.
But, alhamdulillah.
Rami, I'm going to be honest with you, bro. I go on my YouTube channel one day, a few weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and I keep seeing this brother pop up on my recommended.
This guy?
Yes, this guy. And I'm sure all of you have seen Brother Muhammad somewhere in your For You page or your newsfeed on YouTube. And it's something about, you know, Islamic manifestation, finance, this type of stuff, you know. Do this to do this. Things Islam taught me about money. And there's many things that will go through a lot of these brothers' minds when they see someone handling Islamic finance or Muslim finance, right? There's a preconceived notion that Muslims, for some reason, they've let go of wanting to make money, right? We only focus on the deen. We only focus on Jannah, right? We don't care about the dunya. But is that true? Is that far from the truth? What is your experience with, as a Muslim, what we should do with regards to wealth?
So I actually made a video on this. I talked about how, you know how we said Jannah? So if you actually have the afterlife in your mind and you live your life with the afterlife actually in your mind, you'll notice, like, even money. That's why in the Quran, Allah doesn't talk about money like it's such a big deal. Like, it's not like being wealthy is not like such a big deal. So when you have the afterlife in your brain and then you navigate through the world with that mindset, you'll notice it's not that hard. And it should have never been that hard. But it's like, why is it that nowadays everyone thinks it's something hard? Well, in my videos, I usually say it's because of like the waswasa, like the waswasa from the shaitan. But not just that, like even when you look at, for example, the stuff that you get programmed by, like the social media, even the food, just literally anything, it programs you to be weak, like to take you away from who your true self is. Mm-hmm. So what does that do? Like, you forget who you actually are, which is like a, literally, like, I don't want to say a manifestation of Allah, but it's because Allah says in the Quran, like, he breathed into the human from his own soul. Like, when I hear that, I'm like Allah is not that far, you know? So when you keep that in your brain and you actually live through the world that way, everything becomes easy. And I like that mindset. I don't like mindsets that limit you. I like mindsets that empower you, right? So when you live through the world, like, everything's actually easy. Everything truly becomes easy. And that's the way it should have always been. Like, Allah says it, like, this life is like a, it's just enjoyment. But the hereafter is the actual goal,
mm-hmm.
you know? So when you're always focused on like this stuff, yeah. And this stuff, by the way, is all empty. Like, that's the first thing. Like, this stuff truly is empty. And when you realize it for what it actually is, like, that's it. Like, you actually navigate through the world like it's easy,
mm.
you know?
So what's that saying along the lines of, if you focus on the hereafter, the dunya is at your feet.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, exactly, from the hadith. I made a little drawing too. Like, even if you just think about it in your head, it's like, just think of a big circle and keep expanding the circle. Like, keep expanding it even more. And it's like, this huge circle is the afterlife. And this life is literally just like a small dot. Yeah. It's literally a small dot. So why is everyone focused on like the small dot? It's insane. And then when you actually think about it that way, it's like, when you set goals for yourself, it's like, okay, I want to make 10K a month. Well, 10K a month is stuff that's in this life. But then when you think about like the afterlife, 10K a month is like minute. It's so small. So when you think of like the afterlife, like you get everything in the afterlife. What is 10K a month? And then when you actually set this goal, and then you do the tasks that allow you to reach this goal, in your head, it's like it's easy, right? Because when you're working through a goal, yeah, and you're like, this is actually, like, this is hard. I don't think I'll ever reach like 10K a month.
Yeah.
You'll never reach it. Because the goal is like all the way here, and you're all the way, like you're here, right? So it's almost like we say like shoot down your goal. But by that, we don't mean like if it's 10K, you'll just reduce it to like 5K. No, like take 10K and then realize that 10K is like super easy. It's not hard, it's easy. And again, like when you think everything's easy, everything actually truly does become easy, which is so funny, right?
No doubt, bro, alhamdulillah. I do want to give a quick disclaimer right now. None of this is going to be financial advice, obviously.
We
should have done this in the beginning, bro. Come on, Anil, what are you doing, bro? the whole phase transition, he's gotten a little, you know, forgetful, but when it comes to financial advice, this is not it. You guys consult a financial advisor. All of this is for entertainment purposes.
Just only. Entertainment.
Strictly entertainment purposes. But I do have a very important question for you before we dial into some of the wisdom. When we set off on this path to realizing we don't want to be a part of, let's say, the matrix, we don't want to be a part of a normal 9-to-5, we got to start there, right? We all got to start somewhere. But eventually, some of us decide that we don't want to be a part of this forever. We want to take matters and you know, business into our own hands. We want to do something and have a purpose or a mission that is different than perhaps what society wants us to do. There's nothing wrong with that, right? But we're still bred with limiting beliefs. We're still raised with, I guess, limiting beliefs, was like you talked about. You can't do it. Is it really possible? Can I really make that much money? Is it even legal, right? How would you kind of diffuse this victimhood mindset in a lot of the viewers that are watching?
Yeah, so I guess the first thing is like having awareness. So it's like when these thoughts come to your brain, I mean, honestly, what is thoughts? Thoughts, like, it's just literally energy, like literally things that happen in your brain. So it's not actually you. Like when you realize the thoughts are not actually you, it's such a huge like mindset shift, because then you're like, wait, so these thoughts are not actually me. So when I'm thinking of myself as like the small thing, well, I'm not actually the small thing, and I'm not even the thought of the small thing. So when you think about like, where did that even come from? Again, like the programming, right? So when you realize it's like, okay, this is not really me, then it's like, who is me, right? Like, who actually is me? Well, you're the one who's actually aware of the thought. And that's so powerful. Like when you get, it's almost like when you watch a movie, like, and then you get out of the movie, you're like, wait, you know what I mean? Like, it's such a big transformation. And most people are stuck in the movie, which is so funny. It's like, how are you going to get out? Yeah. The only way to get out is just, it's just awareness. Like, have awareness of it, and that's it. Like, it literally gets you out, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, all the programming, you'll know where it came from, and you'll actually be able to navigate through it. You'll be able to, like, take these thoughts away, right? Because when you're not attached to it, it's easier. It's easier to control.
Yeah. But that's why Islam is so big, because these people, this is all they know, right? Yeah. Like, imagine you grew up in the movie, right? Imagine all you knew was watching this movie on repeat, right? Yeah. You wouldn't know anything outside of it. So I think that's where Islam comes into play, because these questions of where did I come from, what am I doing here, where am I going, they de-scope life, they de-scope this capitalist liberal society that we live in. And until you can de-scope like that, you can't really get to that point where you're at. So what role does Islam play in this?
Let's just continue off the last conversation. If you want to know what we're talking about behind the scenes, inshallah, you can check it out wherever it's going to be. Right? Yeah. Learn more about that. But to move on, we were talking about how in the West we're kind of pushed not to have kids for whatever reasons. I think there are two main contributing factors. One, the idea of what resources are has changed. Back in the day, manpower was everything. Whether it was a tribe or a family, you want kids and sons. For a lot of people, they wanted sons. Right? So having children was big, because more people like to till the land, to milk the cows, to whatever, you know, hunt and gather and all that stuff. And, you know, using your family to merge with another family. Like, these things are big. These are, like, tribes are created and all that stuff. So back in the day, those resources were everything. But nowadays, since we're so individualistic, resources not only has been limited to this, like, little paper or numbers on a screen, but everyone's individualized. So they don't want kids, because that's another individual to add and take away from your resources. And everyone's taught to see things as, this is mine and that's yours. This is, I make my money, you worry about your money. And that took away from the collective. And what is a family? It's a collective. You know, it's expensive having kids. And unfortunately, people violate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, do not kill your children, kind of out of fear of poverty. They don't even give their you know, their family a chance to be created. You know, they don't even want to have kids. They don't even value it.
By the way, I don't even think it's expensive to have kids. It's the woman that's like, oh, buy this, buy that, buy this. The kids don't, no, honestly, the kids don't even need that much. By the way, I actually, just for a disclaimer, I want kids, and I want 12 kids, just so you know.
Why not 13 for someone?
No, 12, because it's like an entire soccer team. Right. So we'll fight with like another family. But anyway, no, but like, yeah, we're talking about how the world, first of all, is not small. They make you believe like it's small, and how we shouldn't be having kids because we're so overpopulated and stuff. But
and it's
just having
to have kids.
And yeah, they say how it's like it's expensive and all that. Look, just go and make more money, man. Right? Mm. Like, it's not that
the
hard.
Solution. I'm picking up a little bit of your mental game. It's not that complain and be a victim. It's like, okay, you gotta run faster, run faster. You gotta
yeah,
work harder,
yeah.
Work harder.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, my brain is
going to go. It happens. I mean, it's probably the surgery, you know, from transitioning from
Mohammed. Transition.
Inshallah, let us know in the comments what you guys think. Do you want? Do you like the new and improved Anhel? Do you like Anhel 1.0?
Is the beard nice, trimmed beard?
On Sunnah, bro. Oh, but it's nice.
Thanks.
Good, yeah. You should go up. We're all gonna start going up soon, inshallah. We can rename ourselves the three Qawwam.
Three and a half Muslims,
inshallah. Three and a half Muslims. Who's the one and a half?
Sorry, the two and a half Muslims.
Two and a half.
Or with a cut beard, man. He's trimmed beard.
That's true.
But anyway, so you're right. Yeah. The mindset that I have is that, like, you can't just be acting like a victim and all that stuff. And wait, sir, my brain keeps going.
Okay, firstly, let's address this. Why do you think people act like victims today? Why do you think, you know, 100 years ago, a man had to work harder, he'll just work harder? Why do you think today, you know, and sure, society's to blame, partly, right? Because we're not going to negate the fact that society does breed, I guess, degeneracy, victimhood, and that, you know, you're never at fault. It diffuses responsibility, it diffuses accountability. And partly, why? Because it helps society come through as the knight in shining armor. That we will help you. We are what you need to get by and pay your bills and take loans. And if you don't, then you are not going to succeed. You're going to drown. But why do you think a lot of people today jump to victimhood?
So, well, first of all, because they won't take responsibility, right? You know what's crazy? The other day I was driving, and then I saw, like, one of the traffic lights was not working. Like, the traffic light, it became, like, it was flashing red, right? And then you see people, they act like it's a stop sign, right? You're supposed to act like it's a stop sign. But people are so confused. Like, people don't actually know how to drive when it's like, when there's no rules. Which is funny because, like, it's the same with life. When there's rules, you become comfortable, right? That's why most people take, like, a salary job and all that stuff. So, when you know there's, like, rules and stuff, you feel comfortable. But when you know there's, like, no rules, like, if you take someone and you put them in the jungle right now, there's no rules. Like, you have to become a predator, right? But it's like, that's the mentality that I truly believe that humans need. Because that's how we were back in the day.
Yeah.
But when you start limiting yourself, and I'm not against rules, by the way, but when you start limiting yourself with, like, all these rules and stuff, you actually become this person with super low testosterone. Like, just person with, like, you feel like they're actually diluted, you know? They have no, like, I guess you could say, even sense of responsibility. Not proactive. Literally just reactive. Anything that happens in their life, they just react to it. And then, and this is such a crazy example, like, just looking at traffic light. So this is why most people are victims, because, and it's funny, because even since school, I'm not against school, but usually I know I talk against school. But, like, ever since school, you've always been taught, it's like, you go to school, you can't even leave to go to the washroom unless you ask for permission. Or, like, they give you the curriculum that they think is right. They don't even teach you how to become, like, your own self-sufficient, I guess, like, person.
Right, they teach you what to think and not how to think.
Yes, exactly. And then, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the biggest criticisms of school, that at least not learning, because we know seeking knowledge is an obligation of a Muslim, right? But it's this whole like formal Western format of education where it's like they teach you what to be from an early age and how to be and how to think. But actual life skills, like we're not even taught that, bro. Like, subhanAllah, I didn't learn how to, you know, file my taxes until 2 years ago. And I'm 25. That's a shame. But I know exactly, you know, how to compute these mathematical equations that most of the time I don't even use it a day. Some of them I do, and some of them are necessary, but most of them aren't. You know what I mean?
It's not even just taxes. I know a lot of people who talk about, like, when they talk about school, they're like, oh, don't even teach us about taxes. Like, don't even teach us about taxes. Okay, what about, like, nutrition? Like, yeah, they teach you some stuff about nutrition, right? But, like, they don't teach you how you can actually heal your body. And this is crazy. Like, I truly believe, like, you can actually heal your body, even if you have cancer. You can heal it without the doctor. Like, you don't need the doctor and all that stuff. That's why they say, like, food is a medicine. And medicine is food, you know? But they don't teach all that stuff. But it's like, why is it? Why don't they teach food is a medicine?
Because sickness is more probable.
Exactly, yeah. So, I guess, like, what's the solution to fix all that stuff? Just, I don't know, just go and try and become rich, man. Try to become rich and then just try, almost like try to escape from it, right? But that's the only way, like, just become rich. And also, I don't want to sound like entertainment, but also building a body. I know my body's not like the strongest body, but I feel like stronger than average. Oh, like, I go to the gym, it's like stronger than average.
He hits me up to go to Lifetime at Pajutan.
Yeah, Pajutan.
Pajutan. I gotta start doing that.
Yeah. Well, no, because during Pajutan, you have the most energy.
Right, and Allah actually gives more barakah.
More barakah, yeah.
So you actually feel good too. So let's talk about this. So you've made 100K so far on Shopify?
Shopify, 100K.
100K.
Yeah.
What else have you done?
So I did Shopify. 2019, end of 2019. Is when I did Shopify successfully, and then I made my first 100K. And then ever since that, I've touched a few things. I've touched affiliate, I've touched Amazon influencers, I've touched obviously Shopify, but now I'm just focused on YouTube, which is funny because most people are like, okay, you have to do the other stuff now too, right? And in my head, it's like, too, like, I have to do the other stuff so I can at least show it on YouTube. But I don't know, man, you need it's the focus, right?
Yeah.
You gotta start hiring people. That's one thing I need to learn, hiring people. But my main, yeah, the main focus now is just YouTube.
YouTube,
right? Okay.
Why YouTube is the main focus now?
Well, first of all, I've been doing YouTube since 2013.
No,
literally 2013. But I used to make gaming videos, which is extremely different than what I'm doing right now. But yeah, like since I was 14, I was doing YouTube. So I think I'm like a natural, right, on YouTube, and that's why I'm focused on it right now. Like, and it's funny because Shopify actually allowed me to go back to YouTube. Like, if I didn't do the Shopify stuff, I wouldn't maybe be able to, like, get into YouTube as fast as I did. Because with Shopify, like, it made everything easier. Because then I could come, teach about something I truly know, and then as a result, like, build a follow through it.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, beautiful. Mm.
You made a lot of videos trying out new things.
Yeah.
Were those actually helpful?
Some of them.
What percentage of them?
Like, the Shopify thing is helpful, the Shopify thing.
Yeah.
I feel like marketing is helpful.
Yeah.
But I know I made a few videos about, I think I touched upon Reddit.
Really?
Or something, yeah, like upon Reddit.
Yeah.
And then print on demand is good. It's all just the same stuff, honestly.
Yeah.
But I guess I use different titles to convey like the same message, but in a different way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the game on YouTube. Right? Like, it's almost like it's the same stuff, but you're using like a different idea in it. Like, in one of the videos, I'm like, I tried ClickBank affiliate marketing, and it's like I'm showing the same exact thing, but except this time, I'm showing like a Reddit strategy.
Yeah.
Right? And then another time, I would show like a Google ad strategy.
Yeah.
But that, yeah, that's the game of YouTube.
And Twitter's out right now. Twitter's coming up.
X.
Monetization and X.
Yeah.
They changed the name, bro.
It's so annoying, man. What even is X?
I was literally just having dinner with my dad yesterday, and he's like, I went on my phone, and I just saw where Twitter used to be, it just says X. And I was like, yeah, I noticed that too. We were both just looking at each other like, why? What is, it's Elon Musk, no.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And it's funny, now you see people on X or Twitter or whatever, they're like, how to start making 10K from X.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, it's the same exact thing, like, what are you talking about? It's just Twitter. Yeah. But I guess it's like the same stuff, but different ideas, right?
People keep falling for it. They keep falling for the same exact thing. I want to ask you about, like, well, what do you think of these, you know, these internet gurus? Like, because I see on your videos ads from so-and-so saying, if you want to make $20,000 in the next 2 days, then click this link.
Yeah.
What do you think of those people?
So, I mean, I used to watch them too myself.
Oh, yeah?
And they're the ones that actually got me into it.
Wow.
By the way, it was Dan Vest. You know who Dan Vest is?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, Dan Bass is the guy that actually got me into... No, actually got me into Amazon FBA.
Oh, yeah?
I got into it and I got destroyed super hard back in 2018.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like when I see them, I noticed there's like a, I guess you could say like a gap in the market, and the gap was just honesty.
Yeah.
So it's like, what's wrong with making a video and then you only made like 500 and you show it?
Yeah.
I think it's actually better than making a video, you make it 10K and then showing it. Because most people actually, when we talk about belief, most people don't believe that they can make 10K, which is crazy. So when you show something about you making 500,
yeah,
that's so easy and I can actually go and do it.
Yeah.
As a result, you get more views too.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a great point. Actually, I watched a Patrick Bet David video, I think it was a few years ago, and he made this amazing analogy, and I really think it positively impacted my mindset. He said, America produces, I think it was like 10 or 100,000 new millionaires every single year, something like that, something crazy. And he's like, the amount of people who have managed to climb Mount Everest is only 4,000. So he's like, it's easier to become a millionaire in the US than it is to climb Mount Everest. Like, so people, it de-scopes or de-scales the difficulty of making that amount of money. And that's $1 million. Imagine, you know, you mentioned 10K. Imagine, you know, 5K or something. People who maybe are just getting to work for the first time, you can save up to 5K in a few months working a minimum wage job. You know, imagine if you start your own business and that stuff.
See, bro, everyone downplays perspective, just like you're saying. The fact that you even recall something from a few years ago in a video that you saw, most people aren't even present. Most people are not even conscious.
Yeah.
They're just on autopilot. Watch, rinse, repeat.
Yeah.
And it's kind of difficult to break the chain and to kind of go against entropy, right? So it's supposed to be difficult. But because of that, we got this legend over here, inshallah, to go over some of the ways to make money, some of the high income skills, or the most, I guess, high value income skills today. But before that, there's a question that a lot of the subjects are asking. Is Andrew Tate's guru actually worth it?
Andrew Tate, dang, man. The world, right?
Yeah, what is the world, bro? And you fell for it, no?
And what do you mean fall for it? No.
That's what they say. They
sure, yeah.
Fall for the world.
So, it's funny because most of the comments I saw on my video, people were just like, thank you for exposing Andrew Tate. Well, wait, what are you talking about? I didn't actually expose him.
Yeah.
Like, what did I even say? I didn't even say that I hate Andrew Tate. I actually said something along the lines of, I'm like, if I had a daughter, I said, if I had a daughter, I would have a daughter. But I'm like, if I have a daughter and Andrew Tate comes for her hand, I'd be like, okay, whatever, like, sure. If he's actually being a good Muslim and stuff, sure. But the war room, it was mostly, like when I first joined it was mostly beginners, right? So.
What do you mean beginners?
Like it was people who actually haven't made money.
Mm.
So when you're in it and then you show, like, I guess your receipts, and then you'll be getting a bunch of people who come and ask you for like help, right? And not only my help, like I'm actually cool with helping people. It's just in my head, and even like the way it was marketed, I thought I was going to be joining something where I was going to become like the dumbest guy in the room, which is something good, because when you're the dumbest guy in the room, you're growing, right? So that's what I wanted to do. But then when you come into like a group, and then I guess you're like the smartest guy in the room, with the expectation you'll be the dumbest, I don't know, it kind of hits you, right? So I stayed for a year in it, and then I was saying, like I was talking to the people, I'm like, you guys, like you're not dumb, but I'm saying like, who's successful? So they were like, you need to go into like a real life meeting. So then I went to like a real life meeting, and it was the same thing, like the same exact thing, just people who don't have, I guess, receipts, don't have experience in the game. So they just keep asking, it's like, help me do this, help me do that. So you feel like you're getting sucked, man.
Yeah. So the people, forget the people who are asking you what to do.
Yeah.
The people who wouldn't show receipts that weren't asking what to do, what were they saying? What were they discussing? They were just asking you questions.
So that's the thing. The people who are, you can say, like, successful,
yeah,
in order for you to actually have access to them, you'd have to pay. I don't know if I can talk too much about like the actual stuff inside the world, but like the people who are successful, you have to pay for like an event to go and meet with them.
Like one-on-one?
No, like just like as a group.
I see.
So the meeting that I had were not like paid meetings. They were just like dinner meetings, right?
Mm.
So in order for you to like truly be with the successful ones, you'd have to pay, like, just depends on the event. 2K. Some of them were like 10K. And it's like all the way Mexico, USA, or
like a retreat.
Yeah, like a retreat kind of type of thing. So yeah, I was supposed to do one of those, but then I'm like, I'm already getting so destroyed by seeing like the people already in it. So plus the other thing too that I even talked about, it didn't feel like I guess this is my fault, but it didn't feel like a Muslim environment. And I was kind of looking for like a Muslim environment. That is true. It's like, what are you expecting when you're
coming? I love that Tate had it from before Islam, and now that he's a Muslim.
Yeah.
You know, him and Jewel, you know, shout out to them, may Allah bless them, and inshallah everything becomes a little bit more halalified. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it will be a little bit more appropriate. But this being said, what are the most high income skills that you would say today before we go into how to actually make it?
Yeah. So the biggest or the best skill that I personally learned, and I'm still learning it, like even to this day, is copywriting. So when I say copywriting, people think I'm talking about like the copyrights and stuff, like the legal stuff. I don't mean the legal stuff. Copywriting is just copywriting, like writing copy. So it's the text that actually sells, persuasion. So when you, if you think about it, what's the internet? Like, what's the oxygen of the internet? It's just words. The internet is just a bunch of words. So when you learn how to actually use words in a way that's persuasive, you'll go to like any business and you'll do good because you know how to persuade. So it's almost like a salesman, but like, you're not selling one-to-one, you're selling one-to-many. So you're selling to everybody.
Yeah.
So it's like, for example, if I'm trying to sell this mic, like I'll make a website and stuff, but then I'll like wrap it around like a story. So I'd be like, this exact mic right here was used by Muhammad, which is me. Do you want to buy it for like 1,000? Or just something like that, you know what I mean? Something that adds value to it.
Yeah.
Obviously not 1,000, obviously. But like, or used by Andrew Tate, for example. And then like, people like that stuff. Something that's like exclusive, that's scarce. And then if you think about it, like what's the difference between Jordans and fake Jordans? Yeah, obviously it's fake, but like they look the exact same thing.
Mm.
Why don't you go and buy the fake Jordans? You don't go and buy it because the real Jordans are more scarce. They're more scarce, so they have more value on them, right? So this is copywriting. It's not just words. It's just persuasion. Learning persuasion.
Yeah. And there's actually a lot of content on this. I remember there was a small clip. It's not TikTok, but greater like TED Talk or something. And the guy mentioned that I sold this horse mask on eBay and it went for like 99 cents. And the same horse mask, but I tied it to a story, sold for like $40, something like that. And there are multiple things. But you guys can see there's a horse statue over there. Sell it online, a few bucks. Attach a crazy story to it, it'll sell for a lot more. But this, I think there's a greater kind of concept here, which is not just selling an idea or a product, but culture and media. I took this course in Udemy once about culture and media, and they discussed multiple things, which was the content itself, the medium in which it's delivered through. And they had this saying that kept coming up, because I think one professor came up with it, and he was big back in the day, I think in Toronto. It's the medium is the message, or something like that.
Mm.
Even the way you deliver, the medium in which you deliver a message is the message itself. You know what I mean? So all these things I think are important when it comes to, you mentioned, we're talking about e-commerce and selling things online. So this is even that one. You know, the way in which you convey a message, the medium in which you convey a message is the message itself. So now, mastering that skill, I think there are very few people on the face of the earth who can really like master it properly. You can get better at it, but I think most people day to day lack this, including myself, like intensively. So what, let's say you have two people, one who's great at it and one who sucks at it, right? What would be the difference between those two? How would one person sound opposed to the other?
Yeah. Sound?
Yeah. Like how, in the words that they say.
Yeah.
In their
perspective. Well, it's not even about like the choice of words that you use. It's just the idea, right? So most people when they think about copywriting, they think actually about writing, which is true. It is about writing.
Yeah.
But 80% of it is just the idea. So there's this quote by Abraham Lincoln. He was like, if I had a task to cut down a tree, I'd spend the first 80% of the time just sharpening my axe. So when you're thinking of copywriting, most of the time it's just going to be research.
Yeah.
Like you just do research and then you find a bigger idea. So when you find a bigger idea and you're able to, that's when you actually start writing, like you start using the words. But this idea in of itself is like the big thing. So someone who's good at copywriting and someone who's not just has a better idea.
Yeah.
Right? So you could say all the fancy words that you want,
yeah.
But if your idea is like, it's not that good, it's not going to sell.
It's more about understanding the market,
yeah.
Understanding the audience who you're talking to.
Especially, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't understand, and that's actually the biggest thing that I had too. Back when I was doing, like when I was doing dropshipping, when I didn't know my market specifically, I would be posting ads, and my ads are so expensive. I'm like, why is it so expensive? At a time when even Facebook ads were known to be cheap, but they're expensive because I don't know my market. Right, it's like if you're selling like a lipstick, like I would be making an ad selling lipstick like I'm talking to a guy. It's like, what am I doing? How am I talking to a guy? My market is girls, and it's girls that want to look cute. So it's like, you have to talk to them like that. And by the way, you don't just come in and be like, hey, this lipstick is going to make you look cute. You don't just come in and say that. No, like, you come in and, like, you can add the stuff, like the scarcity stuff. You can be like, this exact lipstick is used by this and that. But you show, like, people who are actually using it. And that's the thing. One other thing with copywriting is that you have to learn the voice, right? So most people don't teach this company, but it's like the voice. So instead of like a farmer coming talking about a lipstick, it's a girl who's like actually beautiful and talking about a lipstick.
Well, that's what I was just saying. Yeah, the medium is the message.
Yeah, right? And this might seem like it's so obvious, but you'd be surprised, man. Like, most people that are even doing dropshipping, they don't think of this. Like, they would write words, like they would write an ad, but they don't think about who the voice is. So the message does not get conveyed. Like, you can make an ad, and like a two ads, but then when you just change the voice, it'll be like dramatically different.
Awesome. You know? And this is the difference between value and perceived value. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, perceived value is not the same as value, bro. But it's what makes the difference between someone who can buy or someone not who can buy.
I think a very simple example would be like, you know, you have fitness training coaching, right? Mm-hmm. Like, imagine if you looked like me or Muhammad, you know?
Wait, what are you talking about? Hold on.
Oh, wait, no. Sorry, wait. You actually work out.
Forgive me. Yeah, man. Cool. Sorry, I just filmed my whole experience with the workout.
Okay, let me.
Yeah, bro, you guys are usual.
Let's say like someone like me was a fitness trainer. You know, yeah. Someone would look at me.
Wait, hold on. Sorry, do I actually look small?
No, you don't. Oh, okay. I'm just saying, like, when you imagine a fitness trainer, it's someone who's like insane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No, disrespect to you. Cut that, all of that.
No, you can add that, it's okay.
Yeah, okay, but back to the actual.
Yeah,
no, if it's someone who's thin, no one's going to want to learn from them. If someone who's poor, no one's going to want to learn how to make money from them. Because as you were saying in the world, like, they didn't have the receipts there, right? So I think, I just want to give a simple example to kind of talk concept of. I didn't mean to tell you the process, my bad.
And a lot of brothers, unfortunately, today in the modern world, they fall for a lot of these influencers that aren't actually rich. So, you know how, Adami, you said that, they, you know, if you're not rich, people won't believe that you're rich. But a lot of people fake this lifestyle. So a perfect example of this is a lot of these influencers that they say, I became rich doing this, or I became rich doing that. But they actually made the wealth teaching people how they actually got rich. I'm not even naming names out because I don't want people coming for us. But, you know, because we know y'all are sensitive and there's too many lawsuits here for nothing. But at the end of the day, it's like, I'll tell people that pay me $50 and I'll teach you how I actually got rich doing something else that I actually never did. But it's through these $50 selling or sales that I actually made the wealth of my money. Did you find this to be true?
Yeah, man. And this is the crazy thing. It's like, when you learn the skill, you actually have to kind of like hone it down. You have to become ethical. Because then you actually know, it's like, wait a minute, there are so many ways to make money. I can just say stuff and then that's it, I'll make money. Because when you know copywriting, by the way, it's not just saying stuff. Like, you have to add proof. But then you'll know how to add the proof, which is insane. I once saw this TikTok of a girl who, she was like, I'm making like 10K or 20K from my cleaning business. And then all you would see, the TikTok, is just like really her sitting on the laptop, and she'd be like, this is how you start a cleaning business. But you never get to see like the actual cleaning business. So that, and by the way, I don't even think the girl herself was the one that actually came up with the whole thing. I think someone was like, literally hired her to do all that stuff, and that person is smart at copywriting. You know copywriting. They never even showed the actual business, and then the whole program is just how to make 20K with a cleaning business, which is insane.
Yeah.
So that's literally how you make like the most money.
I mean, it makes
unethical,
sense.
Right?
Yeah, it makes sense because, like, imagine starting a cleaning business. You're walking into a dirty home. It's like, it's not something that is really ideal to sell. Like, if you want to work, you know, cleaning someone's dirty house, that's not what looks good.
But they know the market, right?
Yeah.
So the market is just girls who, they're already doing it, right? So they're like, well, might as well make more money from it. Yeah. They knew the market so well that to the point, they actually chose a girl that looks like the market too. And that's what I mean by voice. Mm-hmm. Like, so whoever actually did that video, I think it's not even her, right?
Yeah.
But they knew the exact market. So they wouldn't use themselves. They're like, hey, I can't use myself. No one's going to buy. It's not going to convey the message. So they use like an actual girl.
Is that why they hire a lot of the time, like, companies will hire a celebrity as a spokesperson? Like, Jake Paul was recently in like an ad for an app or something, you know? I just keep seeing this image in my head of him saying, like, defend the damn towers, because it's like some tower defense app. Now, like, I'm wondering, what the heck does he have to do with that app? But obviously people, they want people who, he has a lot of young fans, people who look up to him, the kids watch his stuff. Oh, you know, he's promoting this. And Kylie Jenner, everyone's asking, before she started her lipstick company, people were asking, what lipstick does she use? Because lip injections weren't big back then. People didn't know about them, but apparently she was using them. So people thought that, oh, her lips were amazing because of whatever lipstick she was using. So she started her own company, yeah, and she was a main spokesperson for it.
But by the way, you don't even have to become like a famous spokesperson. Like if you have a company and you're trying to hire someone, you don't even have to go for the famous people. Like if you're talking about like a lipstick, yeah, that makes your lips bigger, I guess. You can just get literally like just a girl and then show like her before and after. Get a girl with big lips and then show like how her lips, how they used to look like when she was younger, and then she could use that as like a before and after. And then she would be promoting like whatever lipstick. Like that's what I mean by influence. That's what I mean by comfort. You don't need to be spending big budgets for like famous influencers and all that,
yeah,
stuff. You can literally just use cheap people, like people who are like not going to charge as much.
What resources do you recommend that people use to learn copywriting? Assuming they're a layman, they don't know anything about that.
Yeah, so on my videos, usually I add like a Google Drive file with all the books. I don't know how legal that is, by the way, but I took all the books that I've read and just put them in one Google Drive file, and I'm like, here it is, go, you can just read it. By the way, you can find books for free online. I don't know how people don't know how to do it.
But yeah,
books. Books is the first thing, but the second thing is like seeing the competition, seeing what's happening right now. Because you could read books about influencing stuff,
yeah,
but then they would teach it to you on how they used to do it back then. Because back then, it was like direct mail, right? So they would be sending mails to people with the sales letters, with the copywriting and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Nowadays, the message changed, but the idea is the same. People haven't changed. So learning how people are doing it right now by studying the competition. There are so many ads, find tools that people can use, and then like literally go through what other brands are doing. And not brands who are like big. You don't want to go look at Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola does not do copywriting. They don't need to do copywriting. But when I say copywriting, I mean direct response. So you do things, you make like a brand, you make like a, I guess like a website and stuff, where you're expecting a direct response. So you don't go to branding and all that stuff. You go and you're like, you use words, you use persuasion in a way where you want people to do stuff right now. So Coca-Cola spends money on ads, but they don't expect people to buy right now. If you want to learn how to actually learn the true persuasion, you got to look at people, companies who are just coming up, right? Like for example, there's this company called Bleem. I don't think you guys know about it, right? Bleem? No one knows about it, right? But like, they're making millions of dollars per month because they understood that. They understood their direct response. So they would come, they're selling like a crystal hair eraser. They would take this crystal hair eraser, a crystal hair eraser.
What is that?
It's a dropshipping product. But basically, it's like a thing that you take, you rub it on your hairy parts, and the hair is just gone.
I always thought that was fake. I saw that on TikTok.
Yeah, but they, like, again.
How does it work?
So, you just take it, rub it on whatever part, and the hair just falls off.
Why?
I don't freaking know, man. It just literally falls off. Yeah, it works.
Okay.
So, it works on some people, but some people complain that like, it doesn't take it from the roots, which it doesn't, by the way. But they're still using it, right? But that company came and they actually used direct response marketing. They're not gonna be coming in and be like, "Well, we'll just do branding, bro." If you do branding, you'll be spending money on ads and you'll get no return. They can't afford that. Like especially people like you and me who don't have like a multi-million-dollar budget, we can't afford that stuff. So you want to come in and do a direct response, which is copywriting. Use persuasion that you want them to do a response right now, and the way to do that. Persuasion.
Can you define what you mean when you say so they give a response like we want this and then you do it? Like, what is
so,
the response?
So it's like, for example, like you want someone to do something, like let's just say I'm like, Fire, can you please like go to the washroom or whatever? It's for whatever reason. You'd be like, why? Well, I'm like, I'll give you reasons, right? And I'm like, if you don't go right now in the next 2 minutes or whatever, this and this is gonna happen. And then you start getting these triggers in your brain. Where it's like you actually feel like you want to go, right? So that's the thing. You want to put them in a state where they actually start feeling like they have to do it. And that takes skill, though. That actually takes skill. Like, even just explaining it, like, you need to see it.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
And I'm pretty sure you guys have bought stuff. Especially bought stuff online. But, like, why did you buy that stuff? You've obviously been persuaded. Right? So, that's the thing.
Yeah. Have you read a book called Contagious? How Things Catch On?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was really popular back in the day. I read some of it recently, and they talk a lot about how things become trending, how things catch on, and a lot of the time it's some kind of message or idea or story or kind of like a meme. You know how memes catch on? They're just funny and they become like a pop culture reference really quickly, and they, right? So like, imagine you had a product that was in that realm, right? And it caught on like that. I forgot what the example was, but everything you're talking about is reminding me of that book. And they gave, like, I think, 6 practical steps. The underlying, like, how practical it is, and that you can tie stories to it, the trigger words that are mentioned, what thoughts are triggering people's heads, and things like this. But the problem when you read books, like I don't want to say like that, because I haven't read the book, and I can't say anything, but when you read books, I think a lot of the time it's kind of like being in the classroom. This ties back to what we talked about at the beginning. Being in the classroom, I think the reason the classroom is so limiting is because it's a freaking box. You don't learn a lot. You learn concepts in the classroom. You don't learn in a classroom. Learning happens when you're outside, practical. You get the experience. You actually see what works and what doesn't work. Me, for example, I was always scared of trying anything new with, like, cars, with, like, renovations, carpentry. If a pipe broke, I always called the plumber. You know, if my car broke, I always called the mechanic. If I hear my brakes squeaking, I always call the mechanic. Right? Because school's not going to teach you how to get down your knees and fix these things that need to be fixed. They're going to teach you, you know, y equals mx plus b, and negative b plus minus square root of blah, blah, all this stuff. They're going to teach you all this stuff that you're never going to use again in your life. But the real life practical experience, you don't go on more. You should go on more field trips. You don't go on a lot. You go to, like, one downtown Toronto. I remember we walked around, got a coffee.
What was
under the heat of the sun, like, midsummer. They don't teach you anything. So I think the best thing people can do is just get out and practice. You know, try and sell something. Even if you're not actually getting money in return for it, just try and sell someone on an idea. You know,
spend money on ads, man. Right, spend money on ads. Because when you're spending money on ads, it's like, dang, man. If I don't get like $2 back, if I'm spending $1, dang.
What works, what doesn't work.
Yeah.
Copywriting, huge key. Before we move on to the next one, I got 2 questions. Number one, how did you find your channel?
Channel?
Yeah. How did?
Well, I told you, bro. You know how I remember, like, Elliot Hulse. I saw the Elliot Hulse episode.
Oh god.
And I'm like, whoa, they have Elliot Hulse on there. That's so crazy. That was like back in what, 2020 was it? 2021?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love Elliot Hulse. Because I used to watch him because of the bioenergetics. You guys know about bioenergetics? Yeah. I used to do that stuff. Yeah.
That was some funny stuff, bro.
Yeah.
It sometimes works, sometimes doesn't work.
Yeah.
You get carried away with it, obviously. But, number two, and first of all, may Allah bless you, bro. A lot of value so far. And I really want to go into, you know, your next skill. I hope it's not what I think it is, but we'll see what you say. How would you say that the modern man today should approach leaving the matrix or leaving the system? So this whole system of, like, you know, you go to school, you get a job, 9 to 5, you get 2 weeks off in a year, you'll probably work for 2 or 3 decades before they replace you. Mm-hmm. And if anything happens, it's okay because you're at least guaranteed something every other Friday. Mm-hmm. If that works, why are you now, I guess, motivating others, inspiring others to change the game and reinvent the wheel?
Yeah. So there was this thing I read. They say a lion, right? A lion in a zoo, they don't give them the meat, they don't give them the food at the same exact time every single day. they give the meat to the lion at random times throughout the day. Because if you give the lion the meat at every single time, like the same time every single day, like, something happens to the lion where they're like they literally become depressed. And why is that? Because it's in their nature to become like a predator.
Mm.
So for us, like humans, it's in our nature to become predators. Like, you take a person, you take someone with high testosterone, take them, put them in a cubicle, make them go through this whole life of like salary and stuff, they lose all that testosterone. But naturally, we're supposed to have it high, right? So you are a lion. You're literally a lion, like in nature. So if every single time you're getting like the same money at the same exact time every single month, like, what's gonna happen to you? You'll actually become depressed. So why is depression like all time high right now? Because of this, man. People are just like doing the same thing over and over again. And then what's beautiful too is that, like, yeah, like when you truly become like a lion and you, like, you get back with your nature and you go and actually and like get money without the rules, without the salary and all that stuff, it'll feel nicer too. You'll want even more of it, which is, it's amazing, man. When you realize like your true nature is not this thing that's like small, it's not this thing that's like a slave, like, that's it. You'll go and do whatever, you'll do good.
I think people have also birthed the opposite extreme of, you know, I need to be rich. I need to have my business making X amount of money. And I feel like that also births a lot of depression in people, that once they don't hit it, they feel, okay, I'm worthless. Yeah. Especially because we live in a capitalistic society, right?
Yeah.
So like, what's the perfect balance? Or what mindset should people have going into it?
Yeah. Like a guy who's making like $1 million a month, if their income drops down to like 100K,
yeah,
that guy's going to feel more depression than a guy who's like just
sitting in a
1K.
Cubicle.
Or even sitting in a cubicle.
Yeah.
But it's like, what are you going to do instead, man? Like, what are you going to do? What's the other thing that you're going to do?
Yeah. But see, this is the thing. I want to push back a little bit. I feel like a lot of people push this idea that everyone needs to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And I don't think everyone can be an entrepreneur. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Like, if everyone's an entrepreneur, there's no one at the gas station, at the cashier.
That's true.
There's no cashiers at Walmart. There's no delivery boys for groceries, for Uber, for Amazon. Everyone likes their same day delivery. Who's delivering it?
Yeah.
Right. So I think it's toxic in this kind of... Obviously, I'm not. I think your channel is amazing, by the way, and a lot of people really like, have the same sentiment. If you look at the comment section, everyone like loves your honesty and how genuine you are. Someone, I read a comment today. They're like, I'm so glad to see someone so genuinely genuine. Like even your genuinity is genuine. Yeah. That's the level you're at. May Allah bless you. But there's a lot of people who are like, you know, are you tired? No, let me forget that. There's a lot of people who are like, university is a scam. College is a scam. It's actually useless. It's horrible. It's how many jobs that pay well or decently, that are stable, because they do exist, can you get without a degree? Mm-hmm. Right? And if you're not, and most people are, unfortunately, are not entrepreneurial and they don't have that mindset. And I think they should build it, because it won't just seep over into how much money they make, but how they live their life, how resourceful they are, how good of a problem solver they are. These are beautiful skills to have in life, but it's not always going to translate to money. But when you teach people that they shouldn't go to school, they shouldn't get this education, they shouldn't be doing these jobs, I feel like a lot of people become handicapped by that mentality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not saying like don't go to school and all that stuff, because we need doctors, right?
Yeah.
And this, by the way, this doesn't mean that if I have a friend who's like just in a 9-to-5, I'd stop becoming their friend. No.
Yeah.
Like I have friends that are in a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
But, and I have no problem with that. Like when I tell them, or not tell them, but like when I see them actually living they're comfortable being comfortable, it's okay. Like I'm not gonna come in and be like, no habibi, you gotta become an entrepreneur, you gotta go and do this and do that. No need. But like if someone is in their 9-to-5,
mm-hmm,
and they're actually feeling depressed,
yeah,
well habibi, the only solution for that is just go and start your own business, you know.
I think it depends on why they're depressed. Like if they're depressed
exactly,
because
yeah,
yeah,
like,
then
yeah,
absolutely.
I'm saying if they're depressed because of the repetitive nature,
yeah,
and by the way, you'll know too.
Yeah.
Like there are some people who are actually, they're fine. They're like, I don't care about, I don't even need high testosterone. I don't even care. I don't even care about like, I'm comfortable just sitting down. It's okay, which is fine. But then you'll have people who like, it's just not in their nature to do the same thing over and over again.
Mm.
It's not in their nature to like be enslaved by the system, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you'll know who you are. So if you're cool with it, you're cool with it. Don't be like, no, Muhammad is saying, no, you can't be cool with that. No,
yeah,
like you're actually, we're cool with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that this content and these topics are for people who fit that mentality, the go-getter mentality. I remember my teacher was saying like there's a lion, there's a gazelle, there's the cheetah, and he's saying there's different personalities. I'm going to use lion just for simplicity. I don't know about the personalities, but if you are a lion and you are a go-getter, then you know this content is for you. This podcast and Brother Muhammad's page, which by the way, what is your page? What is the name?
It's called Muhammad.
Muhammad. That's all his page is. Muhammad. Allahumma barik. Yeah. May Allah bless you, man. I think the content is for those, you know, those individuals. If you're let's be honest. Actually, no, I take that back a little bit. Because I was gonna say, if you're looking to be a doctor, then like, okay, just stick with
honestly,
your school.
I think it would still help.
I was gonna say that because I met a guy in California. At a breakfast place, and he's a great guy. He was talking a bit about his personal life, and he was in dentistry, right? He was a surgeon, but in dentistry he would do a lot of like people would create the crowns, and I think he would put them in the people's mouths and that stuff. So what he did is he built labs that built and created the crowns, and then, you know, with his license he built it and he operated it and then he sold it years later. So there's still the entrepreneurial world, even in like being a doctor, even being an engineer, because you can learn the trade and then build your skills up and then start your own company for it, mm-hmm, and then even sell that company later on and make that money. So I guess there's a bit of it for everyone in some regard.
So what about after copywriting, what would you say is the second most important item?
So for me I would say it's speaking, and I need to get better at speaking to myself. Yeah,
really?
Speaking is a skill, bro. I'm not saying I'm like the best at it, but when you learn how to speak, and I use the example of him. Are we allowed to talk about here? But anyway,
It's educational purpose.
So you know that German guy that runs the country?
If you guys put it on YouTube, it might be...
Yeah.
We're talking about Hitler in Minecraft, right?
Yeah, you know Hitler in Minecraft?
Yeah.
So, because he used to be homeless. But all of a sudden, like, years after, now he's almost going to conquer all of Europe. And why is that? Because he's such a good speaker. Such a good speaker. Like, just... And it's funny, because I think he combined copywriting and speaking. And when you combine those two, like, then you'll have a whole country just influenced by you. You'll make them do, like, the craziest stuff, you know? So after copywriting, I would say speaking. And when we're talking about skills, I'm not going to come here and be like, learn how to do dropshipping. Dropshipping is not a skill. Dropshipping is just a method to fulfill the product. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the skill that's actually allowing you to run this whole method, to run dropshipping? It's copywriting. So copywriting is the skill. And especially, like, people are like, do you prefer, like, should I learn digital products or should I learn copywriting? I'm like, Habibi, like copywriting is the method to sell a digital product. And if you're going to be doing, for example, YouTube, then, or like video, then you need to learn how to become like a better speaker.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say also, like, the third skill is closing. And I got all of this, by the way, from Jason Capital, because he actually mentored me a lot.
Listen, I used to watch Jason Capital since...
Well, you too? No way, man.
Of course. He used to only make dating videos back then, bro.
Yeah. But then he got into the money making.
He got into that, yeah. Now so he deleted all his videos, bro. Yeah,
for
all
what?
All the dating videos and stuff.
Oh, really?
He rebranded it into only, you know, this.
Yeah. But no, like, it makes so much sense, because when you're learning, when you're learning closing...
You work with Jason Capital.
No, I was mentored by him.
Mentored, okay.
Yeah. Wow. But when you learn, for example, closing... Well, okay, now it's like you can go and start an agency, right? Or go and start... And it's funny, because when you learn closing, you'll become like a better copywriter. Because when you're closing clients for copywriting, how are you going to close them? You got to learn the skill of closing. But honestly, if you put them all together, it's just learning how to deal with humans, right? If you just learn how to deal with humans, you'll make money. Because who's giving you the money?
Mm-hmm.
Humans, man. Like, it's always been this way. So when you learn how to influence them, that's it, you're good.
Okay, so let's talk about number two. The second point you made was speaking, right? Third one was closing. When it comes to speaking, there is immense value in the actual intrinsic attributes of how you speak, right? Vocal tonality, inflections, and learning that. But many people don't know that what you actually say, your vernacular, your vocabulary, how, you know, the words, your verbal landscape that you have in your mind, how you articulate your thoughts, these things can be improved. Just like you said, it is a skill. It's not something you're born with. Many people think that, oh, I was just born this way, or, you know, I can't actually increase, you know, how I speak, how I talk, how I come across, but you can. How would you say they can improve on their speaking?
Dang. Well, first of all, what are you speaking with? You're speaking with your tongue, right? So tongue is a muscle. You got to learn how to grow it. So there are exercises. And it's pretty funny, because before this podcast, I was doing the exercises. So hopefully...
Are you serious right now?
Yeah, man. So hopefully the speech is not that bad. But... Yeah, there's actual exercises to do, like tongue exercises, where you move your tongue like this. Just, and it's funny, my tongue is sore, actually.
I didn't zoom in on that.
Yeah, but my tongue got sore, just even doing it right now.
Cool.
But that's one thing. But another thing is, I think everybody should do this, but like, just have a YouTube channel where you record yourself speaking and post videos that are unlisted. I used to do that back then.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I used to do that. So my whole channel is like filled with videos that no one has ever seen except me. But when you do that, you'll actually teach yourself like how to actually speak properly, you know?
Because
now you're doing it, and it's like you're getting reps. And by the way, it's all about reps, right? Even in the gym, it's all about reps. The more you do it, the more you'll get better at it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But in terms of expanding your vocabulary, first of all, I don't even think that's needed, expanding your vocabulary. I've seen YouTube channels of Gen Z girls who are just making videos, and they have no vocabulary. But it's just, they're so good at speaking that they get millions of followers, which is so funny, actually.
Yeah.
But for vocabulary, I don't freaking know how to increase it, man. I guess just read the dictionary or something, you know?
Gotcha. Okay, and like read more books. It's not going to hurt.
That's true. Reading more books. But honestly, just speak more, man. Just get speak the reps more. In and that's it.
Yeah, I think this was said by Jason Capital in a video that he made. And something about, you know, he was going into sales and he said that you should be speaking a minimum of 60 minutes a day. How many people today work from home? They're not even speaking for more than 10 minutes a day. They're in their little room recording videos or Minecraft tutorials or whatever, and they're not really talking much. So this is something that can be worked upon, and we should. Especially today, it's become easier to be virtual, to be online. There's no excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, go into closing, because I had a feeling you were going to say sales or something else and kind of persuasion, but you said closing.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this important? Because if the product's good enough, aren't they going to buy? If the service is attractive enough, aren't they going to buy anyway? Why do you need to work on closing?
So I made a video once where I was trying to close people and I was so bad at it. So I'm not claiming that I'm good at closing, but closing just in general, because like if you're good, I mean,
first of all, what is closing? Because they have probably
no idea. Yeah, so closing is not closing a door or whatever, but closing is just when someone wants to buy. Well, okay, you'll become the person who actually makes them buy. Or not even just, if they don't even want to buy, you'll make them want to buy. So Jordan Belfort, I have this course, and I send this course to everybody who I love. I'll send it to you guys too if you guys don't have it. But that guy, like, it's so crazy because he was so good at closing, he went to jail. Like, just imagine being so good at sales, you go to jail.
How?
Huh?
Doing what?
Well, because he closed a lot of people on things that they don't need. So he was selling stocks. He closed a bunch of people sending him money on stocks that they didn't even want to buy, but he was like, he was that good at closing, that good at sales, that they bought it. So people like lost their houses or whatever, and he's like, whatever, you know. So he went to jail, but now he's coming back to even like do speaking and stuff, like on stage, doing the same exact thing. But again, all those skills, like when you learn them, you have to actually be ethical with it, because again, it's so crazy when you learn how to move humans. Like you'll make them do unimaginable things.
Yeah, that's true.
So
yeah, and I think that's where another place where Islam comes in, right? Mm-hmm. Because you mentioned a lot about ethics. I spoke to Sheikh Khalsa about it yesterday. Ethics. I think I spoke to Sheikh Khalsa about it, and I forget the context in which we mentioned it, but actually, I remember. It was in business as well.
Yeah.
The people when they have unethical, not just conclusions, but practices as well. Right, because there are very dirty tactics that people can use in marketing to really sell. Like, for example, like this came up a few times, and I think it came up because of how popular it is, using like women in advertising. You know, like putting, I think there's a reason women are always like at the front desk, or a woman is a customer sales associate, or things like that. There's obviously something about them at being a woman. That's why you put them on ads. That's why you put them in certain outfits, like beside a car or something. What the heck does a half-naked woman have to do with it? Car, nothing. But a guy's gonna look at it and be like, I love the car and I love who's beside it. So obviously, as Muslims, we would never do such a thing, or we should never do such a thing, because we're contributing to a deeper societal problem and we're causing more harm to society than good for ourselves, right? So do you think that, let's say, like people you work with or experience, I don't want to ask too much about your personal life, but has there been contention in the business world with Muslims in practicing the religion?
What do you mean by contention, though?
Contention, like Islam says one thing, right? Yeah. Don't do this. And they're like, but it sells.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. But it's funny, man, because there's ways around it, too. Like, if you're selling a car, there's actually a company who is selling a car through direct mail. But you don't even have to take a woman and put her in the thing. What that company did, they just made... I forgot which company, by the way. But what they did is that their big idea was that we are not the best, but we're number two. Because we're number two, we'll take care of you more. We don't have a bunch of customers, so we'll be able to actually like put more attention to you, give you more energy, and just stuff like that sells, you know.
That worked.
People, that actually worked. Like people actually bought the cars.
That's crazy.
Which is so funny. It's like brutal honesty, I guess. Which is, I guess, a way that helped me also grow on YouTube.
Yeah.
I made an entire video of me going through a strategy, and at the end, it didn't make money.
Yeah.
I'm like, Habibi, I did not make money with this. Is this strategy good? It's not that good. I didn't make money with it, and just that honesty. It actually touches people and it makes people want to want to watch you more. Yeah. So in terms of selling, you could use that. So you're not just limited to like using a girl.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Or using the haram. You're not limited to that.
Yeah. I think there's been a huge shift like in the sales world in the last like decade or two. We're talking about Wall Street guy, he's all sales. It's very businessman, showman like. It's very salesman. That's the word I'm looking for, right? So if you get a call and they're like, "Hey, we got a special offer." Immediately like boom, hang up. It's a salesman. But if they're like, "Hey," and they call you by your first name, it's like, "Hey, Muhammad." It's like, "Yeah." "Hey, Muhammad, my name is this, whatever. You know, we're doing XYZ in your area." You know, that's less salesman. It's more authentic. It's more natural. There's more of a human engaging, sentiment there. And I think, again, that's why a lot of people like your videos, because you're just authentic about it. You know, I see ads, like I mentioned, I'm going to say it a second time because it's annoying. I see ads on your videos. Freaking like, if I don't want to, because if I say this, people are going to know who I'm talking about. So I can't say it. But so I'm going to make something up. You want to make $10,000 in the next week? As soon as I hear that, I'm like, God, I can't wait for these 5 seconds to be done so I can hit skip. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And by the way, instead of saying, "Do you want to make $10,000 in the next week?" Like, you could say that nicer. You can be like, "I made $10,000 in the next week. Mm. Let me show you how I did it."
Yeah. Even that's overused now. And it turns me off.
It's funny because I actually learned this. Like, the less the number is, the more you get attention.
Really?
Because it's more believable.
Oh, I see.
So if it's like, I made $1,000 last month, let me show you how I did it.
I see.
People want to watch that more than the $10,000.
That's crazy. That's actually crazy, because this shows how deep you have to be with your marketing. Because Mr. Beast, when he makes a video, he needs to put a high number, mm-hmm. because giving $10,000 away is so much better in the title than $1,000, even though they're both high numbers, right? Yeah. But when you're trying to convey a message to people would think, oh, you know, they want to hear $1 million, but in that case, it doesn't make sense. That's actually insane how specific you have to be.
You can make an extra $50 a day. It's more believable.
Yeah.
Right? And I've seen those videos get more views than the actual ads you're talking about.
Yeah.
10K a week.
Yeah.
It's not believable, and we kind of know like a lot of this stuff is scam or fraud.
So yeah. Yeah. And I think you did that. Yeah. I think you did $400 a day, something like that. Am I wrong?
I think so. I probably did something.
Yeah, like that. Allahumma barak. Yeah, I watched it, I think, earlier today. Yeah.
So after closing, would you say number four would be something?
Dang, like a fourth skill now?
Objection handling.
Well, it's kind of like with them, right? Because when you learn copywriting, you have to learn how to deal with objections.
Okay, let's say you're in an environment, you want to sell something.
Yeah.
You can sense that they kind of want it, but the barrier of entry is the money. What would you do?
Like, it's low money or what?
Yeah, they don't have enough.
Well, one way you could do it, and by the way, I'm not a closer, just so you know, like, I'm not the best at closing. But one way I've seen people do it, and it's funny, that's one way to convey a message. But one way I've seen people do it is that, well, they don't, like, what they do is that they're like, okay, we'll get you in for the first six months for free, and then you pay this much. That's like a way to do it. And that's a way even Jason Capital used to do it. Where it's like he wouldn't close them for money. So if the guy said, okay, I don't have money right now, he's like, okay, try the product for like 6 months, or maybe 2 months. 6 months is like extending it. Extending it, yeah. But like maybe like the first 14 days or whatever, and then if you like it, we can continue. Then we can charge you. But that one actually like it requires balls, man. Because if you're gonna do that, well, you know you're gonna be at like a little bit of a loss, right? But if your product is that good, which it should be, then. Doesn't matter,
right?
Because they're gonna be.
Free samples don't hurt if you know they're gonna buy. Mm.
So that's one way to get over like the money thing. Mm-hmm. And by the way, most people are not even broke, man. Like, you can sell to someone, even if they have no money, because they'll find a way to make the money. Like you've seen this, the people who buy the most are the people who are actually broke. It's like, why are they broke? Because they're buying the most.
Yeah,
which is so funny, man.
That's very true. That's very true.
I knew someone that was only making 2K a month, and they were spending probably like. I don't know, like $1,000 on some online, you know, get rich quick thing.
Yeah.
Oh God.
But I think that's fine, because if they're learning like a course, it's okay. Take the risk. It's okay. But by the way, one way to actually sell to these people is to actually, and this is copywriting stuff, but to actually make them feel like this is worth more than food, worth more than being thirsty and stuff like, just worth more than survival. Mm. And that takes skills, man. Just making someone feel like this thing is worth more than just survival stuff. It's crazy.
How important is it to actually believe what you're selling?
Bro, it's so important.
Yeah. Like, so what if you know it's not true, but you have the confidence?
It depends, because most people can pull it off. I think sometimes maybe I can pull it off. I've been told that I can pull it off.
Yeah.
But still, it's like, no, man, you can't. If you have no confidence, you can't come here.
Yeah.
Sell it.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
Your absolutely. Brain itself is going to tell you, Habibi, this is so stupid.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
Yeah. And there's something I wanted to mention when we were talking about speaking, because I think a big part of speaking is just being confident in what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine you just witnessed like an accident or like a murder or something, and the officer's asking you what happened. You saw everything. So I don't think you're going to like really struggle to speak, especially if you see the murderer right there. You'll be like, yo, that's the guy right there. You're going to be very confident in it. But if you have to go in front of on a stage and talk about something you're not really sure or confident about, I think that's something a lot of Muslims have when they talk about Islam. We live in the West. Islam is weird to these people. So to convey Islam and to do it authentically and properly, I think Muslim Lantern is amazing at this, bro. I saw one video of him. Just go watch the stream we did with him or the podcast. He's a great guy, you know. But he's amazing at this, to convey something as strange as Islam nowadays is insane. He got a middle-aged, like gray hair, white, I think British guy to say we need Sharia here.
No way.
I swear, you can see the clip online.
So funny.
It's crazy. And they were talking about something like you know, the punishment for a. So it's not something that's a soft topic, and the guy ended like that. That takes skills, and I think just being confident, and this is actually something Muhammad Hijab said. He's like, in my debates, it's 80% confidence, 20% knowledge. So that's something that I tried to implement, you know, before, and then I kind of got lazy.
See,
with all that.
In one of the, you know, cognitive psychology courses I took, we learned about behavioral psychology, and there's two, I guess, tenets of confidence. One is competence and one is worthiness.
Yeah.
So worthiness is kind of just believing you got it, believing you can do it. But competence actually takes reps, like you're talking about. It actually takes the numbers game. It actually takes knowing that you can do it. So do you think most people today have high competence and low worthiness?
No,
or
man.
High worthiness, low competence.
Yeah. Well, most people don't even get the reps in. Do you know why? Like they would do something, like whatever, start a business or whatever. They don't see results the first few days. They would just leave it. Like if you're learning copywriting, this has happened to me. Like I would be learning copywriting through books or whatever. And then I'm like, this. First of all, this is so boring. But then I'm like, when am I ever going to use this? Like, how would I actually use this? And just that just cuts the whole thing. So you're not even getting your reps in. Yeah. And if people are going to be doing the YouTube exercise where you post videos of yourself, like most people are going to stop. Because it's like, why am I doing this? But Habib, just keep going. What the heck are you doing? You know? And through that, you'll get the confidence too. You'll be able to talk about whatever. I need that too, man. Like, I'm still getting my reps in too.
Yeah.
This being said, I think this is more than enough to get people started. And while we are approaching or nearing the end of the podcast, I wanted to ask you some questions not related to business, but before that, Rami, if you have anything you want to go at it, by all means.
I'll save it for last because I want to end on a like a hadith or an Islamic note. And that's why I've been holding it. You guys talked about something in the beginning. I wanted to jump in, but we moved on to the next topic. So I've been holding on to this, inshallah. So yeah, go on.
Inshallah. So I want to go into the more Islamic principles. All right, you talk about this variously on your YouTube videos. I found something through experience that the more money you want, the more you chase money, the harder it is. And the less that you value money, the easier it is to get it. Have you found this to be true?
Extremely true. And this, you could take an example of like a, this funny example, but like, let's just say you look at a girl and she's so beautiful. Well, if you look at her and she's so beautiful, you just put her on like a pedestal, right? You can't even go and approach her. We're not saying go and approach her Islamically, it's not right and all
yeah,
that.
We should be lowering her gaze, but this is like
lower the gaze, but like yeah. if you see her and like, you put her on such a pedestal and she becomes bigger in your head.
Unachievable.
She's not that big, but she becomes bigger in your head, right? So money is the same thing, it's not different. Because again, it's like something that you look at and then you make it bigger than it is. And bro, I truly feel like this is a form of shirk. Like, why is it a form of shirk? Because when you take something and you make it so big, you're making it bigger than Allah. Like, is this not a form of shirk? And why do we say Allahu Akbar? Because Allah is greater than whatever the stuff that you're looking at. So even if you're struggling with money, for example, well, Allahu Akbar, Habibi. Allah is greater. Why are you making the money greater than Allah? And by making it bigger, you're making it bigger in your head,
mm-hmm.
right? So I'm not saying you're just coming here and like you're bowing down and you're worshipping money. That's not what I mean. But you're still worshipping it in a sense because it's so big in your head.
You're idolizing it.
You're idolizing it, yeah. So if the whole day you're just thinking about, oh, I'm like, I can't get money because it's so hard and all that. That's it, man. I truly think that's a form of shirk. Not shukr, shirk, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So one way to actually take it away is just realize that Allah is one. Realize the 99 names of Allah. Allah is the creator of all these things. He's the creator of the money. So when you realize Allah is like way greater than the money, well, Habibi, all you gotta do now is just put the focus on Allah. You don't put the focus on the money, put it on Allah. Money is gonna come naturally.
Yeah, matter of fact, one of the things that the angel, I guess, writes down, as soon as the ruh, as you mentioned, is blown into the body by Allah, one of the four things is the risk that you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we stressing about it?
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't mean now we don't have free will and we shouldn't chase the bag every single day,
mm-hmm.
but it's already ordained.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
What you do is already decreed by Allah.
And by the way, when we say it's already ordained, because even me, I used to think it's like, oh, so Allah might have already made it small. So it's like, I've already gotten it because it's already ordained. But who's saying that, man? It's your freaking thoughts again.
You'll never know unless you work.
But it's your thoughts that are saying that. Where are you getting those thoughts from? The programming. They programmed you to become small, like a person just that believes in lack. No, Allah didn't make your wealth small, man. It's only you believing that it's small. How can Allah, so magnificent, so great, the one who's like Al-Ghani, how can Allah make something small? Like, make your wealth small? It's impossible, man. It's just you thinking of it as being as small. And then when you actually realize that, then you go and work for it, you'll realize, man, it's like, wait a minute, this is bigger than I thought. Like, I'm getting more than I thought, which is beautiful.
Man, may Allah guide Jason Capital to Islam, bro. He said this one thing that
yeah.
ties into what you were saying. It's where your focus goes, your energy flows.
Yeah.
And it's very simple. Most people just overlook the simple principle that what you choose to focus on, what you choose to place importance in,
mm-hmm.
is actually the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why you have people that are broke. I'm talking, they have probably less money in their entire life than you'll make in a day,
mm-hmm.
in some countries. But the khushu they have in their hearts, bro,
mm-hmm.
when they're praying to Allah, they have bliss, they have peace of mind, they're not worried about anything. They know that they'll be taken care of, you know. So speaking of these principles, what are some lessons that you've learned from the Quran, specifically about money and wealth?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I think the biggest one is just not making it seem as big in your head. That's so powerful. Just, I mean, just that in of itself, I feel like it's the 80% of the 20, right? So, like, it'll get you 80% of the results. Just making, like, knowing that money is not that big of a deal, that in of itself is, like, so powerful. Just realizing that, it's so powerful. But other than that, I don't know what else. What did I else learn? I think that's pretty much it. Man. That changed everything for me.
So that was it?
Literally changed everything for me.
But we don't want now people to take that and get carried away.
But hold on, sorry. By the way, this doesn't also mean that it's like... It doesn't mean... Hold on, what was I going to say?
Were you going to say like money ain't whatever? Like we don't have to worry about it? We shouldn't chase it?
No, I forgot. Never mind, I forgot. I was going to say something about
wealthy people. I got to contact the surgeon, bro. Like when they change Anhel into Muhammad, it's like the memory lapse is definitely more noticeable now. But I don't know. Anything?
First podcast, man. First podcast.
Alhamdulillah.
Anhel 2.0. If you guys made it this far, just so we know who watched the whole podcast, comment down below on how 2.0. And inshallah, if you have any questions for Muhammad, inshallah, for part 2, comment them too. We'd love to hear them.
Inshallah. Mami,
you want to give your thought?
Yeah, so there are two hadith, and this is something that was mentioned. If you go through YDI3, it's going to come up multiple times, probably. But they're super powerful. And people don't talk about them. This first time I heard about it was in class. And I wouldn't say unfortunately, because you know it took me 18 years, 19 years to be able to come across it. The two hadith. One is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and the Sahaba, one Sahabi in particular, I forget his name, they narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking about Jannah and Jahannam, or they're speaking about Jannah and Jahannam, as if until the point where it was as if they could see heaven and hell, right? And then when they went away from the Prophet ﷺ, they split from the gathering. They went back to their life, their families, their work, all that stuff. Obviously, they lost that kind of, that level of taqwa. Like, they could see heaven and hell. So, one, the Sahabi that's narrating this, he's like, he went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He was also in that group and felt the same way. He's like, yo, I became a hypocrite, man. And Abu Bakr is like, what are you talking about? He's like, we were with the Prophet. We could basically see heaven and hell. Then we left and I couldn't see it anymore. He's like, me too. Damn, I'm a hypocrite too. Like, that's literally like what they were thinking. They went to the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ said, there's a time for this and there's a time for that. He said, if you were in that state that you were in when we were speaking all the time, the angels would shake hands with you in the streets and in your beds if you were always on that level. But he said, but there's a time for this and there's a time for that. And I think it's beautiful because a lot of people fall to one extreme or the other, right? And as you mentioned, we're a middle nation, right? So people will either fall into the extreme of, you know, I don't want to pray because I have to make money. And then some people fall to the extreme of, I want to pray every second of my life. I don't have time for anything else. I don't deserve X, Y, Z. I shouldn't be working. I shouldn't, whatever. And obviously, I think the first one is worse than the second, because at least in the second, they're worshiping Allah. They're doing some things that are good and they have their obligations fulfilled. But if you let it intrude on the obligations that people have over you, like for example, your wife, your kids, and obligation to represent Islam, to help Islam and Muslims be strong. You know, I would love to see more Muslim entrepreneurs, to get more Muslim jobs, to build more wealthier Muslim families, to have Muslim blocks, Muslim cities, Muslim counties, Muslim councils. That'd be amazing. And that doesn't happen without entrepreneurs. That doesn't happen without the go-getters, the lions. So as the Prophet said, there's a time for this, right? And there's a time for that. And lastly, a beautiful hadith about strength. We all know the hadith, the strong believer is better and more loved by Allah than the weak believer, but there's khair in everyone, there's good in everyone. There's more to that hadith. People usually quote the beginning. And this is something Shaykh Rasul taught me and us in the class like a year ago. So mention it to him and say it helped me a lot. May Allah bless him. Strength could be in anything. It could be financial, it could be mental, it could be emotional, it could be physical, it could be in knowledge in any specific field, right? Strength is relative depending on the field. So the strong believer is better and more loved by Allah than the weak believer. But there's good in everyone. And then that begs the question, how do I get strong? You know, financially, physically, whatever it might be. And the Prophet ﷺ, in the continuation of the hadith, he answers that. He says, hold on tightly to that which gives you benefit and do not become hopeless. And if you think about any discipline in life, that's really all you need. Anything that benefits you to do better in that field, hold on to it. Basically, obviously, keep working and pushing. and don't become hopeless in it. Don't feel like, okay, well, I can't. And then that begs the question, what would make you feel hopeless? And the Prophet ﷺ answers that as well. He says, if something difficult or like some failure or something befalls you, don't say, man, if only I did this instead, or if only I did that, or why did I do this? I shouldn't have invested here. I shouldn't have put these ads. I should have did this instead. He said, don't say if. He said, rather say, call it Allah. This is the decree of Allah, and Allah does as He wills. And then where do you go from there? Back to the top of the hadith. You know, strong believer is better, more loved by Allah than the weak believer. So this is actually an Islamic formula on how to get strong and what to do when you face failures in life. And this is something that for years has stuck with me. And people act like Islam doesn't talk about this. There's no verse in the Quran for a man who's depressed or struggling with becoming strong or struggling with X, Y, Z. Those people are stupid. Those people are actually idiotic. When you read the hadith of Prophet ﷺ, when you read the Quran, and you look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ, it was the most successful man, for God's sake. He had like everything, right? And I don't want to rant too much, but he was at the high of the high. He lived every life, the high of the high, the low of the low. He was a businessman. He was a political leader. He was a prophet and messenger of God. He was a military leader. He fought battles, like so many things. You know, we would live maybe 4% of the life of the Prophet ﷺ, you know? And he lived to 63. Some people lived to like 80, almost 100. SubhanAllah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sorry, I went on a rant there a little bit, but I got excited. You guys got me excited, man.
You remind me of this ayah in the Quran where it's like Allah's talking about when the time for prayer is done, go outside and work and
yeah.
Seek the bounty.
Yeah, in Surah Jumu'ah. Exactly, yeah, that's a great point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when then for Jumu'ah, it's called, stop your trade, stop your business, go and pray. And then He says, to even like kind of, it's almost as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew what people are going to think. I shouldn't work, I should just pray. So He said, and when Jumu'ah's done, go back out and then earn your trade, subhanAllah.
The idea that I should have done something,
yeah,
and then this whole regret is basically from the shaitan. Yeah. Like people do that with the smallest things. It's like even with exams, like you would do something, you're like, I should have studied more. But maybe you failing is actually way better for you than you succeeding. It'll actually teach you, right? So even for example, like when you're speaking to people, it's like, I should have said this and I should have said that. And this gives seed to the idea of regret in your life. But yeah. When you realize it's from shaitan, you can just cut that seed from the roots. And then you'll actually, this is a beautiful thing, you'll actually start living in the present moment. You'll live in the present moment. Because Allah said, the friends of Allah, they're the ones who don't feel sad and don't have...
They don't grieve?
They don't grieve. They don't grieve and they don't fear.
Yeah.
It's like, why do you not grieve? Well, because you don't live in the past. Yeah. And why do you not fear? Because you're not thinking of the future.
Yeah.
So you're just living in the now. So yeah, this idea that's of like, I should have done that, I should have done this, just pure from the shaitan.
Yeah, you beautiful know? Point, man. Honestly, very beautiful point to end it on. Barakallahu feekum. And with that being said, because all the SD cards are like dying now, let's wrap up, inshallah. Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, wa kina adab an-nar. Inshallah, we'll see you guys on the next one. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yeah, take care.